This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, celebrating Pet Dental Month, learn about the incredible tale of greyhounds, a grooming tool your pet will love, and meeting your pet's wintertime health needs. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Not pumped about cleaning the litter box? Try World's Best Cat Litter Zero Mess, the litter that gives you 2 times better clumping and more odor control with less litter. That's right, you scoop once and you're done. No chiseling, no scraping, no crumbling, no problem. Looking for fast and easy litter box cleanup? Zero Mess. Try it. You're welcome in advance. Save $2 on World's Best Cat Litter. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Monica Layton from Professional Pet Sitting. We really have a lot of interest and care in the dental of our, whether it be our cats or our dogs, and it's Pet Dental Month. Monica, can you give us some tips on dental care?
Absolutely. Keeping up with the teeth is one of the number one things you can do as a pet owner to ensure a longer, more healthier life for your pet. Dental disease contributes to so many health issues, heart issues, liver issues, kidney issues. Every time that pet has periodontal disease in their mouth, they eat, they drink water, and they're swallowing a little bit of that tartar and that plaque and that bacteria with every, swallow and, lick and eat that they have. So all of that has to be filtered through your body. And it's going through your heart, your kidney, your liver. It's being filtered through your organs as it, makes its way through the system. So that bacteria, of course, is going to, do damage as it's consistently being digested through the body. So anything you can do as far as dental care to diminish the tartar, diminish the plaque, and help to strengthen the abrasion that you have on those teeth to keep that plaque and tartar from forming, the healthier pet you're going to have. So most pets, dogs, cats, regardless of species, by 3 to 4 years of age are going to need a dental. Smaller pets, smaller dogs, for example, greyhounds, there's a couple of breeds that are more susceptible to having dental issues. They will be most likely needing to have those dentals earlier than 3 to 4. But your average middle-sized dog and cat by the age of 3 is needing their first dental. I always tell people, how do you know your pet needs a dental? When you're looking at your pet's teeth, even if you're lifting the gums a little bit, you're looking at usually the front incisors, the front molars, the canines, things of that nature, but you're not really getting to see the back. And the back is really where you need to look to kind of grade how quickly you need that dental scaling. When your pets eat, usually they're going to chew in those very back teeth. Really important to lift up the gums and look all the way to the very, very back of the mouth. Another thing that happens that you have to look on as a pet owner, and your veterinarian will look when they're in for their, you know, annual vaccines, things of that nature, and let you know how it's progressing as well. But some pets have different eating habits. Some will chew on one side of the mouth more than the other. So if you are looking and you are, you know, being cognitive of the teeth, check both sides. Make sure you're not just like, oh, yeah, it doesn't look too bad. We're good. Make sure you check both sides, front and back, because like I said, you know, some pets will chew on one side of their mouth instead of the other. So, you know, one side can accumulate a lot more tartar than the other one does at a different speed. The other thing also to check with is when periodontal disease starts, you may not see a ton of discoloration and plaque on the gum or on the teeth, but the gum lines will start getting red and inflamed. As soon as you start getting that inflammation, the color starts changing in between, you know, the edge of the gum line and the teeth, you know that you're at the start of periodontal disease. So then you want to start, you know, taking some precautionist measures. Dental foods, there's tons of dental diets out there. Larger kibbles, the larger the kibble, the longer it's going to take that pet to eat that kibble. That's the more chewing, the more abrasion they have. So you're locking loose more of that tartar, so it's not adhering to the teeth. Dental chews, I always tell clients to be cautious of. You want to be good about giving the chews as a preventative. However, there's a ton of chews on the market. One thing that we're really big on in our office is the chews that digest. So for example, different dogs have different aggression levels when it comes to how they chew a treat. Some will chew through a treat in 2-3 minutes. Other ones will sit there and gnaw on it for a day. And you have to be cautious that if they're chewing off big sections and swallowing them, that it's something that's not going to become a foreign body or a choking hazard. So I always recommend that whenever you're picking out a dental chew, pick out a chew that's digestible, that's something that's going to disintegrate. So that way, if your dog does ingest a larger piece of it, it's something that's not going to, you know, clog up the bowel or clog up the stomach or cause a blockage of sorts. It's something that's going to break down naturally and be able to be passed. There's treats on the market called Oravet, which we recommend a lot. It's made by Merck, I believe, and they actually have kind of like a Teflon-y ingredient that puts this coating on the pet's teeth, but they are digestible. So if the pet takes a larger chunk off, it's not going to hurt the pet. It's going to digest in the system and they're going to be able to pass it normally. There's one called Dentees, which is very good, and they digest. So just be very cautious with the treat you give. Talk to your veterinarian, talk to the pet store, make sure that it adjusts. Another option is brushing your pet's teeth. There's so many different options out there. I know I personally am not one that prefers to brush the pet's teeth simply because, one, it's a lot of work. It has to be done every day. People have other things going on, you know, and if the pet enjoys it, that's great. But if they don't, who wants to do something that their pet doesn't enjoy on a daily basis? It's not going to happen. The prevention's not going to be there because it's not going to be reliable. If you do brush your pet's teeth and you can get them to like it, I always recommend not using even a pet toothbrush. Simply because with the toothbrushes, no matter how much your pet likes the toothpaste and things of that nature, if they see something or somebody grabs their attention, maybe somebody drops something in the house or somebody knocks at your door for whatever reason, if that pet kind of picks up on something else and they jerk their head one way, if you actually poke that into the side of their cheek or their gum or things like that because the pet moves suddenly, you could really do some damage. You can get ulcers, lumps and bumps, bruises, abscesses, things like that can happen. So if you do brush your pet's teeth at home, I always recommend the little finger brushes, the soft plastic ones, or even gauze. Something soft to where if, you know, you are in there and the pet moves, you're not going to hurt the pet. Put the little bit of the pet toothpaste on the gauze or on the finger brush. Let them lick it off. Let them sniff it the first couple of times and go slow. Just do one or two teeth. And if that's all the pet is, you know, comfortable with, then the next day, maybe you can get three or four. You know, just do it as a gradual thing. Don't really try to go all out the first couple of times because you want it to be enjoyable. You want to go slow, just like anything you're learning. So as they get more accustomed to it, you know, the further you can go, and eventually you can get all the way around. The other thing is, don't just do the outside of the teeth. Make sure you're really cognitive of the inside of the teeth as well, because they can get just as much plaque or tartar on the inside of their teeth as they do the outside. So if you are going to use brushing as your dental care, you know, routine, make sure you get both sides of the tooth and all the way around eventually. They also have wipes that you can use. You just simply, instead of teeth brushing, they have a little wipe. So you can just rub the wipe over the front and the back of the teeth and be done. No toothbrush or toothbrush needed. They have little sprays that you can squirt into the mouth, stuff that you can put into the water. They have powders you can add to the food. There is a plethora of dental care options out there. And so the main thing is, I always tell clients, don't get overwhelmed when you're trying dental things. Find something that your dog's comfortable with, and find something that you know you realistically will follow through on. You know, make it as easy as possible on you, because the easier it is for everybody, the more you're going to do it, the more, you know, the more routine it's going to become, and the more accountable you're going to be with that action. And remember, you know, when you go to your veterinarian, making sure that they are looking at the teeth and checking in with them, you know, they'll tell you, you know, it looks like they're due now, or maybe in the next 6 to 12 months. That way, you know, what's coming, and get that dental scaling done when needed. That way you can really cut back on all the issues that you're going to have later in life with dental care.
Well, that's really important information. And having been a Greyhound parent for well over 20 years, I know the importance you brought up the Greyhounds. I mean, they're historical for having bad teeth. And we ultimately came to the little tooth, the one that goes on the finger, and they loved that, but the toothbrush they didn't like. And then we had the dental chews, which we got through you guys. And it's something that you have to be cognizant of. You have to stay on top of, because unfortunately I found out from an earlier pet who we had adopted and did not have good dental care before we got her. She had a lot that transpired from that mouth that was so infected, but she ended up being good. But it's something that you learn. You don't want to learn it the hard way. You want to be proactive. So these are great proactive tips. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Coming up, an international story of women saving animals and greyhounds throughout the world. Stay tuned.
If you've ever shared your home and heart with a charmingly naughty animal who's always up to mischief, you'll fall in love with the Klepto Kitty, who stars in Talk to the Paw by Melinda Metz. Talk to the Paw is a funny, heartwarming novel about a single girl, a single guy, and MacGyver, an adorable tabby cat with a not-so-adorable habit of stealing from the neighbors. Talk to the Paw is on sale now everywhere books are sold. Visit kensingtonbooks.com for more info.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We have with us today Laura Chanone, an award-winning author who, in her book, The Dogs of Avalon, tells the incredible tale of greyhounds and an international network of women who fought to save them. Welcome, Laura. How are you?
Hi, Susan. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. This is such a wonderful book. It tells so much. It's very inspiring, but I have to ask you a question. What or who was the inspiration for writing this book?
Oh, well, that's a little bit of a story. I was not really a natural born animal lover. I was raised with dogs. My parents had a couple of Dobermans and I really loved them, but I was not really a natural born animal lover. Just because you love your own dogs doesn't mean you love all dogs, and certainly not all animals. But I had a son who was. And he really needed a dog. In my book, I describe a little bit about the way childhood can be lonely, and his particular childhood had some moments where I felt he was lonely. And so he begged me for a dog And even though I was sympathetic, I held him off for a long time. But then finally I agreed. There was a woman in my neighborhood who was bringing over greyhounds and greyhound mixed breeds from Ireland, which seemed absolutely ridiculous to me. I didn't understand why she was doing this. But she sent around these email missives from time to time about the next dogs that were coming over. And so one day she sent over an email that was so startling. This dog was in such terrible condition. And the email took the form of a diary that described her recovery and that there were these women in Ireland who had gotten her off the street and saved her. And the transformation was so amazing. And the final pictures of the dog were so beautiful that I said, this is going to be our dog. This is my son's dog. So after Lily, that's her name, after Lily came, I had a chance to meet the woman behind her rescue. And I did. And I met Marion Fitzgibbon. And she happened to have a son who lived in New Jersey, and she was visiting him. And so I went to go see her and ask her about Lily's story and why these greyhounds and greyhound mixed breeds were being sent over. And she really opened my eyes to a little known fight over there and also everywhere for greyhounds. And at one point I said to her, well, why are you working for dogs? Why not people? And she said to me, every living being has the right to live and die with dignity. And I was very startled by that, and I thought it was quite a big statement. I didn't know if it was true, but I wanted it to be, and so I decided to pursue the story.
Well, I'm so glad that you did. It was extremely inspiring, and also I love the fact that it brought strong women together from different parts of the world. I mean, there were different women involved in this who were coming together as a network to save these dogs and impacted animal welfare in all different ways, not only in their countries, but they worked with Marion. And I guess I'd like you to tell us a little bit about Marion, if you could.
Oh, sure. I tried so hard to capture her as a character because she's an extraordinary character and just a very powerful human being. She never stops talking. I love listening to her brogue. She's very full of energy, very, very honest, but completely dedicated. She was kind of a normal, in many ways, it's a hero story about Marion. I found it followed the kind of classic hero narrative, and that she was kind of living an ordinary life. And as a housewife, she had a couple kids. And then she started noticing these dogs on the street. Her family moved back to Limerick, and she was driving through the city every morning, and she saw dozens of these stray dogs in the front of the storefronts there. And from sleeping overnight, she'd see them in the morning. And she became very upset by that. And she started to go out to feed them. And she even actually would put her kids to bed at night and then go out with food to feed the street animals. And while she was doing it, someone said, you know, there are some other women doing that, don't you? And Marion said, no, I don't. Went to go find these women, and she met these very ordinary people who had, under the radar, been fostering dogs and finding them homes. And they all joined together, and they formed a local animal group, Limerick Animal Welfare. But as Marion got more deeply involved, she started to become more of an advocate. It went beyond cats and dogs. She even got involved in helping some humans. And we watch her rise to become head of the ISPCA and then get involved in these other women around the world who are rescuing greyhounds. So the situation in Ireland is that people there do not see them as pets, greyhounds. And yet it's the leading breeder for country in the world of greyhounds. So there's an enormous surplus, and the only way to find them homes would be to get them out of the country. And so Marion met women, and they helped form alliances, all of them together, around the world, so that greyhounds could be taken out and homed in other countries. And that's actually how come Lily wound up coming to me, because they're being shipped out to find homes for them. So the power of women, I guess, in the story is a very big theme. I noticed Marion and the other women, they seem to bring out more strength in one another. The more they work together, the longer they work together, There's an extraordinary person in the book, Marion's dearest friend, Beverly, who came completely from the other side of the track. She was a very wealthy woman who had an enormous estate in Limerick, and she let Marion use it to basically create an animal shelter there. And the two of them ran this thing together for 20 years, and they really brought out a lot of badass behavior in one another and, as I said, a lot of strengths. So that aspect of the book was remarkable to me because I'd never been involved in animal welfare to see how much it's run by women.
It's interesting that you say that because they kind of came across to me as like the Thelma and Louise of animal rescue, because one of them, you know, Marion was from Ireland, and Beverly, she was from originally the United States and had relocated to Ireland. And I was watching these two and I'm going, man, they are so impressive. Now, I have to ask you, you know, as we talk about, I always say that it's so wonderful when, you know, it's these women all get together and there's so much power. What surprised you about Marion and this group of animal rescuers that all came together?
Uh-huh. That's easy. How brave they were. I mean, there was nothing they wouldn't stop at, especially Marion and Beverly. They would go to a whole other level. If they got a call at 2 a.m. about a horse, Beverly would just say, I'll bring my, you know, my horse box, mm-hmm. and I'll be right over. And Marion would say, Claire, pick me up and we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
But in Limerick, and as in all places where animals are suffering, a lot of times human beings are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went into some dangerous places, basically some really serious projects there. Gypsy camps in Ireland, and that's really not the correct term. In Ireland, they want to be called travelers. There's an Irish group of gypsies there that really love their animals, and animals are a part of their lives, but they don't always take very good care of them. They're impoverished. And Marion is very unique in that she goes into these camps to help the dogs. And most people would never go to these places that she went. And what was interesting is that often while she was helping the dogs or the horses or the animals, she would wind up getting involved with the people and helping them as well. So she's really an extraordinary human being.
Well, it almost seemed like it was her gift because she knew how to talk to, she had like a gift of knowing how to speak with people, knowing how to, because, you know, sometimes when you talk about animal rescue or animal advocacy or activists, people go, whoa, back up. But she entered it in, you know, entered into conversations in a way, and the way she was especially presented in this book, as people listened to her, had a presence where people listened to her. She knew what she was talking about, and when she was talking to you, it was for the betterment of the animal, and it would also be for the betterment of the person. And I think that that's when she integrated with the travelers, I could actually see the change that she was, not only was she doing for the animals, but she was doing for people.
Yes. Well, she wound up, as you know, taking on their case and actually,
yep.
Representing them in court, but I'll leave that story for now.
Yeah, leave it for the book because it's very interesting. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's really kind of crazy what she did and how brave she was. But you're right, she was a born leader.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people really are, and you're absolutely right also in that it was her ability to communicate with people. She defied all stereotypes. She was, as I said, more like a diplomat than a cat lady, you know, as far
mm-hmm.
as stereotypes
yeah.
go. She's highly informed and articulate. But even more than that, I think this is really important about her, and maybe even in our current political time where I feel inspiration from her, she always had a fundamental respect for the other side and that, you know, that human beings have their due. So, for example, particularly with the greyhound racing industry,
mm-hmm.
which is a very traditional, masculine sport, as they call it, sport, it's really an industry. And, you know, she really believed that tens of thousands of dogs had been destroyed and abandoned. And yet she still could understand that these men, it was a part of their culture. And so she, even though she was absolutely uncompromising, there was just a fundamental respect for other human beings there. So it made her almost a bit of a politician in that she could talk to anyone, whether it was travelers or fox hunters, who were the wealthiest people in the country. She really could travel in all those circles.
And again, that goes back to her gift. You know what I wanted to touch on? We just touched on the greyhound racing. Can you tell us about the birth, when it all started, greyhound racing?
Well, greyhounds as a breed have an extraordinary history, as you know. Mm-hmm. They are a very old breed. Most breeds of dogs really were born in the 1800s in Victorian England. But there are certain breeds that are very old, and greyhounds are one of them. They were Celtic dogs, and in Europe, in ancient times, and I'm talking about before the present era, people used hunting dogs there, aristocrats, that were scent hounds. And they had, you know, typical ways for hunting, all that involved setting a dog off on the scent line. But I found some documents, some old Greek writings, that described something basically like, hey, did you hear about these dogs that the Celts have? On their migrations west, the Celts brought these dogs with them, and they were known as the Celtic hounds. They're the ancestors of greyhounds, and they were so different from any other kind of hunting dog because they used their sight to really just, sprint. Mm-hmm. They're sprinters. They would see the prey and sprint across a field and get it. And they were like, wow, well, this is a game changer in hunting. So they were very respected, these dogs. And then, if you move ahead several hundred years to the Middle Ages, many hundreds of years to the Middle Ages, we find that the aristocracy had embraced greyhounds. They were a very noble dog used for hunting. And then coursing, which was a kind of a way of hunting where you set one animal on another, usually a greyhound on hare, although you can use any animals for coursing. And a sport arose in Britain and Ireland known as coursing, which is you send two greyhounds after a hare, and the first one to turn the hare wins. Now, this is just considered good fun. British and Irish immigrants brought their coursing sport to the United States, and particularly in California. And around 1905, a guy there, an engineer named Owen Patrick Smith, witnessed a coursing event, and was horrified by the sound of the hare screaming when she was caught and torn to bits. They shriek like babies. Mm-hmm. Many people have remarked on this, that they cry like babies. And he was so devastated that he thought that he wanted to try to invent something that would spare the hare. He was an engineer, and so he built the very first mechanical lure, and really was the first person to develop our circular track. Other people had been trying to develop something, but he's the first one who did it. That was in 1919. And within a very few years, greyhound racing spread to, you know, really took off. It was very novel. And all kinds of people went. It spread to England. It spread to Australia. It spread to Ireland. It spread across the United States. Boston was a big greyhound racing place. And, you know, movie stars and famous people would come out to see it. After a while, those people left and moved on to other things, but an industry took its place, and that industry really, in the United States, found a home in Florida. There was in many, many states across the country, not all, but many. And of course, it's been on huge decline here and in many places in the world ever since, because basically the overbreeding, the mass breeding, and the missing dogs came into question, I would say, around, there were plenty of dog men, we call them dog men, the guys who were in the business, were upset about putting down dogs. But really it was in the 80s that some women, mm-hmm. who got involved and wanted to find homes for these dogs. They used to just automatically be put down. People didn't think they were suitable pets.
And it's really interesting that you say that, because obviously you have one. We adopted our first retired greyhound in 1995, and he actually came from Boston. It's just, they make the most wonderful pets. They're so docile, so sweet. Everyone that knows me knows I'm a hound girl, because the greyhound is the elegance. They're smart, they're sweet. They're great with children.
I can't say enough about them.
Yeah, I love
especially
them.
Especially for big, for busy people, mm-hmm. they're really in some ways like a cross between a cat and a dog.
And that's why I first got one. My sister actually, I never even thought of it. My sister recommended it, and we had got our first house because we wanted to have a yard it could run in, and we got the house, and the same day that we got the house moved in, we went up and got our first dog. So, but what I want to ask you is, I'm not sure how you want to answer this, but do you have an opinion right now on racing?
Sure. Well, first I want to say that, you know, I came to the book as a writer and journalist and not an advocate. I feel that my purpose is to tell stories. That's what I'm born to do. And so I wanted to tell a full story that I discovered and I thought wasn't told. I mean, there really is a huge international movement that began in the 90s for greyhounds led by women. So I wanted to tell that story. But obviously, as part of that story, why were these women saving these dogs? Because the dogs were being, they call it euthanized, put down in huge numbers. And particularly by the 1990s in the United States, there were more than 30,000 dogs being bred. And they just were not the homes for these dogs. And again, as I said, at first, people didn't even, for so many years, didn't think they made suitable pets. So when we start to realize that they are suitable pets, in the United States, there's been great success in finding homes for them. And the industry claims that, 95% of they call them retired racers, find homes. And therefore, greyhound racing is okay. I respect the guys who have it as their culture, and I understand that it provides a certain number of jobs, but I do think that the time has passed and that we are in a changing world where we have science and so much more understanding about animals, and we're really moving ahead as a society to treat them better. So I do not think that greyhound racing has a place in the modern world anymore. So am I against it? Yes. But until then, if I'm having a conversation, and you know, as you know from the book, I really did want to give the other side a chance mm-hmm. to speak, and I met some dog men and interviewed them and liked the guys that are in the book. A couple of them I liked very much. You know, I could just leave the conversation on, well, where do they all go? And in Ireland, in England, in Australia, in the United States, there's no birth to death registry, and we don't know where they go. We don't know what happens to them when they're not fast enough to run. We don't know what happens when they're done. And for the longest time, we don't know, and we still don't fully know how many dogs get injured or have to be put down because of injuries. So those would be the questions that I would really focus on.
You know, and you did, you talked to the people on the track, you talked to trainers, you talked to handlers, you talked to so many people, you got the opinion, you got the life of all of these people, put it all together, as well as these magnificent, wonderful women who did this, this whole animal awareness thing involving greyhounds and other animals too. But what was your greatest takeaway from writing this book? I mean, there's so much in the book, and it's extremely, not only is it, like I said, inspiring, but it's also educational, and it's very fair because it takes both sides. It takes all sides of the story. So what was your biggest takeaway in writing this mm-hmm. book?
Well, the book has two main storylines. One is the career, the life and times of Marion Fitzgibbon as we watch her go deeper mm-hmm. and deeper, and kind of live a more and more crazy existence, really, that takes over her life. And the other story was my awakening. I was not aware. I had never considered how much the human race owes to animals of all kinds. We've spent most of the time talking about greyhounds, but Marion is trying to finish a sanctuary in Ireland before she dies. And it's been very hard, but it's a beautiful sanctuary. It's very close. That takes in all animals. Mm-hmm. She would take in and advocate for farm animals, for pets, for wild animals. There's a scene in the book where she rescued circus animals. And because, and I talked to a seal man who had rescued
yes.
800 wild seals and sent them back. So from my experiences with all these people and my reading, I just became aware that human civilization wouldn't be here without animals. The entire capitalist economy uses them. They suffer a great deal. And so I just have become very aware. And, you know, I don't eat meat anymore. And I'm even trying very hard to be a vegan. Very, very hard for me. I'm kind of a bad vegan. So that's been tough. But I would say just an awareness and an appreciation for animals and a sense that we need to treat them better. And if we do, we'll have a better world.
Well, I thank you for, number one, writing the book. And I thank you for exposing all of us who read it to so much that goes on in the animal world. It's not only greyhounds, because there's a lot about greyhounds, but as you said, there is just so much more in it with so many other animals. Where can the listeners go to learn more about you, to learn more about the Dogs of Avalon?
Sure. Well, I have a website that is my name, but you can also get it to them, get to the website at dogsofavalon.com or laurachanone.com. And that's where you can find out more about the book. I'm on Facebook as well, Laura Chanone, author. And Marion's organization, Limerick Animal Welfare, is also on Facebook. And you can actually see some of the people and places. They put a lot of photos, mostly of animals up there. But you can see some pictures that show how beautiful the sanctuary is there in Ireland that Marion has built. So those are the places I would send people. There's also, there are many organizations in the United States interested in advocating and adopting out greyhounds. So certainly listeners can find information very easily online.
I want to thank you. And I thank Lily for coming into your life. She's so beautiful. I thank her for coming into your life and opening up this whole, yes, it was a whole different chapter. And I want to thank you for all you do for the animals and for raising awareness for animal advocacy, worldwide. I mean, this was a very impactful, you know, I've been in rescue for many, many years, and it opened up my eyes to a lot of things. And it's so good to see a group of women and working with men in a truly compassionate and passionate way and having results to what it is that they're doing in such a positive way that has impacted the world. So I thank you so much for bringing this to us. Again, everyone, the book is The Dogs of Avalon. Please go to dogsofavalon.com. And Laura Chanone, I thank you so much for coming on the show, and it was wonderful to meet you.
It was great to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. And we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, Doggy Diva Show listeners. Susan Marie here to take just a half a minute to let you know how much we appreciate your being with us every week to hear great dog tips you can use with your pet, some great stories about rescues, fostering, and some heartwarming stories about second chances for pets who are now in loving forever homes. Be sure to go to our website, thedoggydiva.com, to see pictures of Miss Olive and other dogs we talk about on the show and get to know us a little better. That's thedoggydiva.com, D-O-G-G-Y. We appreciate your feedback, too. Okay, let's get back to the show. Up next, are you looking for a new and effective way to bond while grooming your pet? Stay tuned.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops, get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. And we are so happy to have back with us Jay Michelson. He's the founder of Hands On Glove. And Hands On Gloves is a revolutionary grooming bathing glove that allows you to reach professional excellence while bonding with your pet. Welcome back, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. We love your show.
Oh, good. It's our pleasure. We love your product. And for those listeners who are new to our show, since you were last on and may not be familiar with hands-on gloves, can you please tell them about it?
You bet. As a kid, this is how I came up with it. As a kid, I was grooming and bathing horses and dogs all my life. And we were using the same old curry cones and mitts for bathing that would slip and fall off, especially when you put a little soap and water on them. And then you get into the hard bristle brushes and the shedding blades that, you know, they don't feel good on anybody. So as a kid, I wondered, why don't we have a set of gloves with fingers, everything on each hand, nodules on the fingers all the way to the palms, and it baffled me why this wasn't on the market. So as an adult, I said, I'm going to once and for all go and make these gloves. I thought it was going to be easy. It took 4.5 years to make them.
Wow.
I realized then that's why they were not on the market. It was really hard to make right.
And can you just describe what they look like? Because it almost is like a little driving glove that has like those my girls love it. Those little nodules that like kind of relax them as well as grooming them. It like has a relaxing effect on them.
It does, and that's the thing. This is an actual fitted pair of gloves. We have sizes for kids all the way up to extra large. So junior through extra large, there's a size for everybody. So that's the cool part about it. You can actually get a fitted pair of gloves, one on each hand, and the nodules run all the way from the palms and thumb all the way up through the fingers. So that's the cool thing about them. And yes, animals love them. That's the fun thing that we've noticed, and people write in every day. We have rescues. I've got 5 rescues that hate to be groomed. They hate all of the other devices, but they love the gloves because it's just a hand massage for them. You're just petting them and loving on them. And that's the fun part that we see.
Well, and I think sometimes when people hear grooming and that, they think pretty much of like dogs or maybe cats, but this is good for other animals as well. Can you tell us about the benefits? Some people that I know use it on their horses. So can you tell us about that?
You bet. Yeah. And I actually designed them for equine. And as we were testing them, I realized they weren't just as great on our dogs and cats and all kinds of other animals. But yeah, it was actually designed for equine. And like I said, through the testing, we realized they're just as phenomenal on dogs and cats. And we've got everything from zebras and elephants using them. So
wow.
I'm trying to get an aardvark so I can say from aardvarks to zebras.
And that would be a great photo op for your website.
Exactly. I'm gonna figure that out.
To Z, yes.
Fun.
Now, working with the animals, and you have there are a number of different animals that benefits from this. But you know, I look upon it with mine because mine have all short hair. But I look upon it as like a bonding experience. And my feeling is that we have Valentine's Day coming up, and for pet parents who are looking what to give their pets, or even what to give the pet lovers in their life. You know, when using this hands-on glove, it's a perfect gift for Valentine's Day, because who wouldn't want this revolutionary yet gentle grooming tool? And it helps you to bond to your pet.
And that's it. And that's the thing with all the people that respond to us, saying, you know, their animals from thin-skinned horses to dogs that hate to be groomed, cats that hate to be groomed, other animals, they love the gloves. Because if you think about it, our dogs in our lives are the most loyal things we have in our lives. You look at abused dogs, and they still love their owners. So you take a metal bristle brush to our pets who love us so much, and you know it hurts. Run one of those up your leg or face.
Oh.
That hurts.
Yes.
But they put up with it because they're like, okay, my owners want this, and we've got to change that. And that's why the hands-on gloves come in, and it is more humane. It's a better solution. It doesn't rip the hair out. It massages the ready-to-shed hair out. And like you said, on your dogs, they're short hair, so there's not a lot of shedding. It goes beyond shedding. It gets the dirt and dander out and then massages those natural oils to the surface coat. And with, you know, a couple times a week you do that, you'll be amazed at how shiny their coat is.
Well, and they do have extremely shiny coats, and they actually love when they see me bring the gloves out.
Yes.
I have like a little room that I have all of their paraphernalia in. And when I come out with the gloves, they know what's going to happen. And they line, the three of them line up and they go, no, me.
Because
it makes them feel so good. And of course I'm happy because it's getting, you know, the little danders coming up and whatever little loose hairs they have, it picks everything up, but it does it. The look on their face is just like, love it.
They do, and that's the thing. They will line up, and even our dogs in our videos. You'll see all the dogs kind of circling around. My turn. When we're shooting videos, but even the horses. You can get the gloves out and go out in the middle of the pasture, and the horses come up.
I want my
loving and my scratching. it's fun. It's fun to watch, and that's the cool thing about the gloves is it's easy to use. And it is that bonding experience, that loving touch, that loving massage. And people are finding out, we have professional groomers that are actually selling the gloves because they've realized that their clients will actually use this product because it makes them happy, it makes their pet happy, and they will actually get them out and use them.
I can absolutely see why.
Yeah. And that's cool for the groomers because when the dogs come back, they're nicely groomed.
Yeah.
So it's an easier job for them.
All that under fluff is out.
Yeah.
Now,
no more tangles to cut out.
No more tangles. No more knots. Now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and to learn more about hands-on gloves? Because I really feel that for Valentine's Day, there's no better way to share Valentine's Day with your pet or with pet lovers than having that wonderful bonding experience. And I want to let all the listeners know where they could go to learn more about you and also get this phenomenal product.
You bet. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And everybody can go to handsongloves.com and we'll give you a free shipping code. The free shipping code will be DIVA, D-I-V-A, DIVA. And put that code in on checkout, and we'll give you free shipping.
Oh, wow. That's great. And I think that the listeners, me as someone who uses it all the time, I know that it's wonderful, and I know that my pets love it. They, like I said, they line up for it. So, you know, all of you out there, if you're looking for that perfect gift, if you don't know what to give the perfect gift for your pet lover, you know, they don't want chocolates. Give them the hands-on glove.
That's right.
Because they will love it, and their dogs are going to love it too, because it not only are you bonding with your dog, but you're also grooming your dog or, you know, your horse or whatever animal you choose to use it on, because it's that gentle but that effective. So, and I thank you so much for this opportunity for our listeners to get free shipping on that. I appreciate that.
Thank you
and so
much. Thanks for having me. You bet.
Well, and thank you again for coming on the show. It's always great to talk to you. And I want to thank you, Jay, for all that you do for the animals, too.
Thank you. We appreciate everything you guys do as well. You guys are awesome.
Well, great. And you have a great Valentine's Day.
You guys, too. Happy Valentine's Day.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be back in just a moment. Coming up, are you looking for ways to keep your pets healthy, hale, and hearty during these cold winter months? We have the answer. Stay tuned.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Now, when the weather outside is frightful, Our next guest is here to tell us how you can make sure your pets are healthy and delightful. We are so happy to have with us the CEO of NHV Natural Pet Products, Petra da Silva. How are you, Petra? Welcome.
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Susan, for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, could you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, about your background, and if you have any pets, we'd love to hear about it.
For sure. So, I am the CEO of NHV Natural Pet Products, and proud to say that I'm a woman-owned business.
Yes,
which is fantastic. I'm really, really passionate about pets. I have two rescue cats, and my new addition to the family is a little dog called Chaya.
Aww.
Yeah, she's super cute, very, very cute. Brings a lot of joy to our life. She comes to the office with me along with the cat, so all the ladies in the office just have somebody to chill with.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so great. And it's so good that you rescued the animals too. That makes it so special.
It does.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about NHV, the natural pet products?
So NHV Natural Pet Products was created about 20 years ago. It started off by the want that I had for my own dog. I have a company that does human supplements as well. And my dog that I lost a couple of years ago, Lady, had a lot of health issues. So I used to kind of treat her using supplements, botanicals specifically. And I saw that these made a huge difference. At that point, 20 years ago, there was nobody doing anything with supplements for pets. So I decided that if there was an opportunity to help pets, because I'm so passionate about being able to help improve their quality of life, improve their health. So we brought on a holistic veterinarian who worked with our master herbalist, and we created this line of pet supplements that's manufactured at a GMP FDA certified facility. And we offer about 38 different products that can help over 150 different health issues that our pets face.
Well, and I appreciate that because there's a lot that goes into getting this. And I mean, and you have a state of the art facility to work with, and you know, it's great the products that you're bringing. And you know, with the cold weather being what it is, how does NHV products benefit our pets during the cold weather? Because you do have a lot to offer for that.
Yes. So, you know, to start off with, I am sorry for what some of you folks have gone through in the East Coast. My goodness, it's been frightful. And it's really tough on our pets as well. So with NHV, what we have is a product called Chipsy. We find that during this cold weather, the pets are not getting out as much. They're shy to go out, like they just don't want to go out. So they hold back having a pee. And we see a real increase in urinary tract infection. So Tripsy is a formulation of herbs that helps with a UTI infection. And in fact, we have done a study with the University of Georgia on this product. So it's an excellent product to help with that. Then we find that also, just like us humans, you know, when it gets cold, how your muscles kind of hurt and everything ache and the arthritis starts to kick in. Pets as they get a bit older, we have products for that. So we have a product called NHV Old Timer, which helps with muscle and joint issues. We have a product called Yucca, which is a natural anti-inflammatory. The other thing I find, too, is with pets that they have dry skin, and they seem to have a lot of allergies too. And I think that's brought on by us turning on the heat and the fireplace and all of that, and then not getting enough fresh air and being outdoors. So we have a product called Pet Omega, and omega-3s are wonderful, wonderful anti-inflammatories. They help with allergic reactions. They help lessen that. They help improve skin and coat conditions. Just like us, I mean, we tend to put a lot of cream on our body because our skin gets dry. So for pets, the omega-3s help with dry skin and dandruff and stuff like that. I can keep going on, and we have so many different products.
Oh, you do. And, you know, and that one's a very, very important one because I think that's a great anti-inflammatory. But you also have the ointment for, because I know that so many of the dogs and even cats go out and they have, you know, with the elements, whether it be the ice, the snow, there's so much going on out there. And also, you know, sometimes there's salt on the ground, and you have this ointment that helps to soothe, correct?
Absolutely. So with myself personally, what I do is once Chaya goes out and you come back, the sidewalks are salted. They get all of this stuff on their paws. And as we know, they're very good at licking their paws to clean themselves. Mm-hmm. So we come home, I dry her off, and I take the heel care ointment and apply it. For one thing, it helps keep the paw pads nice and moist. If they've picked up anything, it gets rid of that. It stops it from cracking, because a lot of times, just like us, you know, the paw pads get, their paw pads get really dry. Yes. Our fingernails and toenails get dry, that type of idea. So, yeah, no, it's fantastic. So a good product to use to help keep a healthy paw pad.
Well, and I think that you've definitely lined up a great arsenal for us, those that are in the cold weather climates who are looking to help our pets in any way that we can. You also have you have a whole line of things that are there to support our pets and support our pets' health besides the cold weather products. Can you let us know what some of the other products that are available?
Absolutely. So like I said, we have over 38 different products. So the line was developed keeping in mind that we want to help pets when they're going through various stages in life. Now, I'm a huge believer that with our own personal health and our pet's health, if we take a holistic approach, we can help improve quality of life, and general well-being. So that, to me, that comes from providing them with good nutrition, providing them with supplements, and making sure that they get plenty of exercise. So the product line helps with any type of health condition that a pet may have. So we have products for Cushing's or adrenal issues that dogs have. My dog Lady had Cushing's and she lived to be 20 because I had her on Superglan. We've got stuff for the heart, like, you know, a lot of pets have heart health issues. We've got a product called Hearty Heart. We've got milk thistle for liver issues. We've got turmeric for just general well-being. It helps for the heart. It helps as an anti-inflammatory. It's good for arthritic conditions. We've got a product called Restyro, which is good for cats that are hyperthyroid. We tend to see a lot of that happening right now with our cats. We have products for, and I hate to say this word, cancer, but sadly there are so many pets mm-hmm. that have it, and it just breaks my heart down. But when they're going through all of these issues, I feel that we need to be able to support their health, help improve their immunity. So we've got a blend of mushrooms for pets called Nature's Immuno that really helps with cancer. We've got ES Clear that helps them with cancer. And the one thing I want to point out that is our line of products is specifically formulated for pets. So it's not like we took a product that was manufactured for humans and stuck a label to sell it for pets. And there are companies, some people just think that they can do that, and it's okay to take a human product and use it on pets, but it's not, because their bodies require something a little bit different, and the quantity of herbs need to be really balanced. So we've done our supplements so that they can be used with pharmaceuticals, so you can do a really integrative approach in helping your pet. At NHV, we also offer an online vet consultation with a certified integrative veterinarian. So we try and do everything we can to help pet parents. We try to provide them with the resources that they need to just improve the overall well-being of pets, because that's important to all of us.
Well, and as a pet parent, I want to thank you, because it's very important, and I'm not sure that all the listeners understand that if you have a supplement which is a human supplement, that it isn't always the best for your pet. It's always better, and you definitely seem to have done your research and you understand this so much that it's important for the pet to have an actual pet supplement for what, you know, the issues that they have. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that you as a company recognize that. And I know that that's something that you feature and promote. So I thank you very much for that on behalf of the pet parents.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, you're so right on that. I mean, people do think it's okay to take in a human supplement. So, I'm proud that we've done this, and I feel good about being able to help pets. Right? It really touches my heart. We get people sending us comments of how their pets have done on the product, and they'll post it on our social media. And sometimes I'll read it and just start tearing up, because it really touches my heart.
And you're very compassionate. You can tell that you're compassionate and that you walk the walk and talk the talk. So that's very, as a pet parent again, that's very reassuring for me. Now, Petra, where can the listeners go to learn more about NHV Natural Pet Products? I know that you have the website and your social media, and they could read testimonials and also learn where they can go to purchase these wonderful products.
Yeah, so the listener can go to our website, which is www.nhvnaturalpetproducts.com. As you said, we are on social media. We are on Facebook at nhvnaturalpetproducts.com. We are on Instagram at nhvnaturalpet. They can also reach us through our click desk, which is a live chat, and they can talk to our pet experts, who are all pet parents. We have a certified vet tech on board, so they are talking to people with experience who have good knowledge of nutrition and pet health.
And that's so important. And I want to thank you for being our guest today. And, you know, on behalf of the pet parents out there, myself being one of them, it's so important that you bring this type of information to us, because it's very important that we, number one, understand it, and number two, recognize that there are specific supplements and products for our pets that, though for us, they're wonderful when we go to our doctors and they tell us what we need, don't share them with your pets. Get something specific that goes with your pet's physical issues and your pet's physical needs. And that's why what you're doing is so important. And I also want to thank you for all that you're doing for the animals. I know that that you're very passionate about what you do, and I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I just want to say, too, that, you know, with us, you were talking about taking, you know, not using the human supplements type of thing. So with us, we're in fact doing more studies with the University of Georgia and some of our supplements, just to provide that reassurance to pet parents that there is stuff out there that they can help their pet improve the quality of life. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And I think that, you know, all of us want to improve our pet's quality of life and whatever health issues they're going through, or just to help them get through these cold, you know, wintry months, just to help them with whether it be the foot cream or the omega-3s. There's just so much that you offer for just everyday pet care as well as times of critical need. And being a pet parent of dogs that have had cancer, and we stay on the watch all the time, and it's wonderful to learn more about products that are out there to help me as a pet parent and also to help my pets, because that's what we're all here for. They're our companions and they give us unconditional love.
They definitely give us unconditional love, and that's what I love so much about them.
Well, again,
they put a smile on our face.
They do. I'm sitting here right next to Miss Olive, and she's just staring right at me, and I appreciate, she appreciates, too, everything that you're doing, and I want to thank you. We thank Petra De Silva. She's the CEO of Natural Pet Products, and again, you can go to www.nhvnationalpetproducts.com to learn more about these wonderful products and supplements. And I thank you again for all that you're doing for the animals.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.